This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Paul Henkel with The New Scientist. Your articles will come from the April 20th edition of The New Scientist magazine. Article number one, from Health. Progression of Parkinson's disease slowed by antibody drug. A drug that targets a buildup of proteins linked to Parkinson's disease could slow the progression of symptoms like tremors in people with advanced forms of the condition who lose motor control. The accumulation of a misfolded protein called alpha-synuclein in the brain has long been considered the underlying cause of Parkinson's. This leads to the loss of neurons that produce the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is involved in our control of movements. Some treatments aim to ease symptoms by boosting dopamine level in the brain, but their long-term effects are limited. So far, there are no approved disease-modifying therapies that halt or slow the progression of Parkinson's. To see if a drug called prasinezumab could make a difference, Gennaro Pagano at Swiss pharmaceutical company Roche and his colleagues recruited 316 people thought to have early-stage Parkinson's disease. Of these individuals, 105 received intravenous infusions of a placebo, while 211 had infusions of prasinezumab at either a low or high dose administered every 4 weeks over 1 year. The drug is an antibody designed to bind to aggregations of misfolded alpha-synuclein in dopamine-producing neurons. It is hypothesized that prasinezumab may reduce neuronal toxicity, prevent cell-to-cell transfer of pathological alpha-synuclein aggregates, and slow disease progression, says Pagano. The trial results initially suggest that the antibody had no meaningful impact, but an additional analysis showed it was more effective among those with more severe Parkinson's. These individuals had rapid eye movement sleep behavior disorder, where people act out intense and often violent dreams, which is common in Parkinson's, or were taking drugs called MAO-B inhibitors to manage Parkinson's symptoms, or had been rated by their specialist as being at stage 2 out of 5 on a symptom scale, with a higher number indicating greater severity. Compared with taking a placebo, prasinezumab reduced the rate of which participants' motor symptoms worsened over the year. For example, on a rating scale for motor symptoms, those on MAO-B inhibitors who received the placebo scored 6.82 at the end of the year, while those taking the inhibitors and prasinezumab scored 4.15. No serious adverse events occurred in the trial. The results imply that in a faster progressing population, where the degree of worsening over time is greater, there is an increased likelihood of a potential treatment effect, says Pagano. This could be because people with rapidly progressing Parkinson's have higher amounts of misfolded alpha-synuclein in their brains, so may benefit more from a drug that potentially clears the protein. However, the researchers didn't assess what was happening in participants' brains because they lacked a biomarker to monitor if levels of misfolded alpha-synuclein changed. Vinata Vedam-Mai at the University of Florida Health says that without knowing if alpha-synuclein is being cleared, the study can't conclusively show that prasinezumab is disease-modifying. She would also like to see longer-term data to better gauge safety and efficacy. Article number two, technology. Cyborg cockroach swarm is controlled by computers. A swarm of remote-controlled cyborg cockroaches can navigate to a target location while avoiding obstacles and each other. Hirotaka Sato at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore and his colleagues have previously shown that a Madagascar hissing cockroach can be controlled by a computer and steered like a robot. The insects wear backpacks consisting of a battery, a tiny computer, and an antenna to communicate with a central computer. The researchers issued commands through electrodes implanted in sensory organs known as circi on each side of the animals. When the electrodes applied current to the left or right circus, the cockroach rotated in that direction. Now the research have shown that a swarm of 20 such cyborgs can travel as one across a sandy hilly test area 3.5 square meters in size. To coordinate the swarm, software on the central computer assigns some cockroaches as leaders that nearby insects follow to the target. The computer dictates the direction in which the cyborgs move, but the movement of their limbs, which is hard to replicate mechanically and electronically, is handled by the cockroaches. In the test, when a cockroach accidentally rolled onto its back, nearby insects would work together to right it. This is an intrinsic behavior, not one directed by the computer, says Sato. The insects could be used to survey areas, taking environmental readings via onboard sensors, or to search for humans trapped in rubble, says Sato. The swarm could be carried by a larger robot and then released, sending data to a central computer, he says. It could return to the robot for food and water and to recharge the control backpacks. Article number 3, zoology. Are pandas bad at sex because they have the wrong gut microbes? Giant pandas aren't mating enough to grow their populations, and their gut microbes might be to blame. Habitat destruction and climate change already make it hard for the giant pandas to survive. They also face an additional challenge they struggle to reproduce, especially in captivity. Pandas are solitary creatures, and females have just one fertile window of about 40 hours each year. Meanwhile, captive males aren't very promiscuous, and they don't know how to mount females properly. We have long been trying to understand why captive pandas are so bad at sex. Studies show the psychological stress of being stuck in confined spaces probably plays a part, as does the lack of mating competition. But Dingxian Liu at Beijing Normal University and colleagues had a hunch that diet might be to blame. When they analyzed 72 fecal samples from 20 different male giant pandas, some good at mating, others not so much, they discovered one stark difference. The sexually competent group had a significantly higher abundance of Clostridium bacteria. Since gut microbes influence everything from immunity to behavior, this lack of Clostridium could be inhibiting panda libido. We've found the relationship, but we're not sure yet whether this is the only reason for their poor sexual performance, says Liu. The bigger picture is probably more complex, says Liu, with different plausible factors weighing in. This has very important implications for conservation, says Megan Owen at San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance in California. It could help conservationists tweak how pandas are fed in captivity. Previous research has shown that to help boost Clostridium in the gut, pandas can eat more bamboo shoots as well as more flavonoid compounds. To achieve this, Liu suggests rotating the types of bamboo that pandas are fed in captivity to mimic the seasonal changes they would experience in the wild. Next article, astrophysics. Surprisingly huge black hole found in our galaxy. Astronomers have found the largest stellar black hole ever seen, dubbed GAIA-BH3. It has a mass 33 times that of the Sun, dwarfed only by supermassive black holes and those that form through mergers of other black holes. At about 2,000 light years away, BH3 is also the second nearest black hole to Earth ever discovered. George Seabrook at University College London and his colleagues found the stellar black hole using the GAIA Space Telescope. A stellar black hole forms from a star that has reached the end of its life. No light can escape a black hole, so most of them are found by spotting the glow of the hot material orbiting them and falling in. However, BH3 is dormant, not devouring any material. Instead, the researchers found it by noticing the strange motion of a star that seemed to be orbiting a patch of empty space. This star itself is unusual too. It is made almost entirely of hydrogen and helium. Most stars contain at least some heavier elements, which formed in the hearts of massive stars and were distributed throughout space by supernova. But the first generations of stars would have had very low amounts of heavy elements. The composition of BH3's partner star suggests that the enormous star that collapsed to form the BH3 black hole was also one of these primitive objects, which may have evolved differently from the way massive stars do today. This would explain how the black hole got so huge. Its size would be difficult to account for if it had evolved more like regular stars do. Finding such a massive black hole wasn't a complete surprise. Experiments that hunt for gravitational waves, ripples in space-time caused by the motions of heavy objects, have found signs of them in other galaxies. From these gravitational wave measurements, we should be expecting to see such black holes in our own galaxy, but we hadn't until now, says Seabrook. Next article, physics. A crystal made only of electrons. Exotic material has now been seen under a microscope in unprecedented detail. Scientists have managed to directly image a crystal made only of electrons, known as a Wigner crystal, and their images are the clearest ones yet. There have been many, literally hundreds, of papers written on finding evidence for the Wigner crystal, says Ali Yazdani at Princeton University. And we never thought that we would succeed in directly imaging it. It was a bit of an accident. At room temperature, electrons can flow together in electric currents because their kinetic energy, which comes from their motion, overcomes the force that makes particles with the same electric charge repel each other. At very low temperatures, however, repulsive electric forces win out, and the electrons end up arranging themselves into a uniform grid or crystal. Physicist Eugene Wigner predicted this phenomenon in 1934, but researchers only recently started to understand how to create it in the lab. Yazdani and his colleagues made their Wigner crystal from electrons inside two thin sheets of graphene, each only one atom thick. They cooled the graphene to only a few hundredths of a degree above absolute zero and immersed it in a strong magnetic field. Yazdani says that it was crucial that their graphene had very few imperfections where electrons could get stuck. Otherwise, the particles could form a crystal-like state involving the structure of those imperfections, rather than because of the interactions with each other, as Wigner predicted. In most past experiments, researchers would look for evidence of a Wigner crystal by creating conditions that would allow them to infer that electrons were locked into a grid, rather than actually being able to see the structure. However, Yazdani's team directly imaged its crystal with a microscope. The instrument relied on a quantum effect called tunneling. A sharp metallic tip scanned across the graphene surface, and when it passed over an electron, the particle would tunnel through the gap between the surface and the tip, creating a small electric current. Because of these currents, the researchers knew where the electrons were positioned in the graphene, letting them create the most precise images of a Wigner crystal yet. Yazdani and his colleagues saw electrons sitting at vertices of repeating triangles, such as Wigner predicted, when they applied an electric voltage to the material, altering the temperature and the strength of the magnetic field, the crystal melted into an exotic, incompressible electron fluid, as well as a fluid where electrons formed stripes. Marine biology. Deadly upwellings of cold water pose threat to marine life. Bursts of frigid water rising from the deep sea to the surface can be deadly for marine animals, and such events are increasing in frequency due to climate change. In March 2021, hundreds of fish and shellfish, as well as squid, octopuses, manta rays, and bull sharks, washed up dead on the coast of South Africa. The animals were fleeing high water temperatures from a heat wave gripping South Africa's coastal zone. But in their escape, they were caught in a sudden cold water upwelling from the region's Agulhas Current, prompting ocean temperatures to plummet. The temperature can suddenly drop by about 10 degrees centigrade in 24 hours, says Zoe Jacobs at the University of Southampton, UK. It's very, very intense, short-lived event. Nicholas Lubitz at James Cook University, Australia, and his colleagues studied 41 years of sea surface temperature data and 33 years of wind records to assess cold water upwelling in the two regions affected by the Algujas Current and the Australian Current, which snakes down Australia's east coast. They conclude that stronger ocean currents and changes in wind patterns, which are occurring with climate change, are driving an increase in the frequency and intensity of cold water upwelling in both regions. Most marine life living near these currents is adapted to sudden temperature fluctuations, but the study warns that migratory species such as bull sharks, which pass through these waters and are unprepared for sharp shifts in temperature, are at risk. Bull sharks struggle to survive when water temperatures drop below 90 degrees centigrade for a sustained period. Another article from Technology. Bottle purifies water using your body's static electricity. A bottle can disinfect drinking water by channeling static electricity built up from just 10 minutes of walking. Our water disinfection approach holds particular significance for populations in underdeveloped regions, isolated areas, disaster zones, and conflict areas lacking adequate sanitation infrastructure, says Sang-Woo Kim at Yonsei University in South Korea. Kim and his colleagues took a reusable 500 milliliter water bottle and installed a polymer electrode inside that incorporates nanorods made from the conducting polymer polypropyl. These nanorods concentrate the electrostatic charges that accumulate on the body as we walk to create electric fields strong enough to kill or otherwise inactivate bacteria and viruses. A small piece of aluminum foil attached to the outside of the bottle serves as a gripping point, while also collecting static electricity from the person's hand, which then flows along a copper wire to reach the electrode inside the bottle. Tests show that the method can completely disinfect river water containing both bacteria and viruses within 10 minutes, and sometimes faster if the person holding the bottle picks up the walking pace. The choice of footwear affects the amount of electrostatic charge harvested. Shoes made from polycarbonate, rubber, and polyvinyl chloride enabled higher electrical output than shoes made from leather, says team member Zhang Yang Hua in Renmin University of China. Very humid conditions can also reduce the effectiveness. Still with an estimated cost of under $2 per bottle, the method could be useful in places where clean water and stable electricity supplies are hard to find. Over to zoology. Peaceful bonobos may be more aggressive than chimps. Have we misjudged our two closest relatives? Chimpanzees are known for lethal violence, while bonobos are widely seen as paragons of coexistence, free love, and female empowerment. But a new study suggests the reality is more complicated. Maud Mougenot at Boston University, Massachusetts, and her colleagues studied 12 males from the bonobo groups at the Kolokolo-Pori Bonobo Reserve in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and 14 males from chimpanzee groups at Gombe National Park in Tanzania. The researchers tracked each primate from when they woke up each morning to when they returned to their nests at night, recording every aggressive incident. They logged more than 2,000 hours following the bonobos and an excess of 7,300 hours tracking chimpanzees. Aggressive behaviors, including contact aggression, such as hitting, pulling, biting, or kicking, and non-contact aggression, such as charging and chasing. The team found that bonobo males had 2.8 times as many aggressive interactions as chimp males in total, and three times as many incidents of contact aggression. Chimp aggression was more likely to involve coalitions of males and to be directed towards females, whereas male bonobo aggression towards females was rare. I was not expecting to find such rates of aggression among bonobo males, says Mougenot. Bonobo males that acted more aggressively towards other males were more likely to mate with females while they were fertile. According to Mougenot, one explanation for behavioral disparities could be the differences in bonobo and chimpanzee coalitions. In bonobos, females form coalitions, but rarely males, she says. In chimpanzees, males form coalitions against within-group males or to defend a territory. Therefore, if one chimpanzee male acts aggressively against another one, he might face a coalitionary retaliation. The study also found that male-female interactions are very different between the two species. In bonobos, males avoid acting aggressively towards females and form close associations with them. Researchers often refer to chimpanzees, or sometimes bonobos, as the best model for our last common ancestor, says Mougenot. I think none of those species are a good model. They all went through their own evolutionary path. What is interesting is to look at how some strategies evolve in some species and not others. Joan Silk at Arizona State University says this data suggests that bonobo males are at least as aggressive as chimpanzee males, which isn't what we would expect of peaceful apes. However, Gisela Kaplan at the University of New England in Armidale, Australia, says the paper misuses the word aggression. Chimpanzee groups are ruled by one dominant male, whereas bonobos are ruled by females. Competitions for dominance and mating rights in bonobos shouldn't be confused with aggression, she says. There's more pointless violence in chimpanzees and humans than in other species like bonobos. Next article, from Health. Post-op infection is often due to skin-dwelling microbes. Surgical infections could mainly be caused by bacteria that already live on your skin, rather than via external contamination, according to a study of just over 200 people who underwent spinal procedures. Hospitals have strict hygiene standards, including sterilizing medical clothing and equipment, to prevent an infection, but a U.S. study in 2014 found 3% of people get one after an operation. To see if such cases could stem from an individual's skin microbiome rather than hospital conditions, Dustin Long at the University of Washington in Seattle and his colleagues collected skin swabs from 204 people who underwent spinal surgery. 14 of the participants went on to get wound infections. After analyzing the microbes responsible, the team found that 12 cases involved bacteria already resident on individual skin before surgery. Virtually all of the SSIs, or surgical site infections, we encountered originated from the patient's own microbiome, rather than the pathogens that were introduced from the hospital, says team member Stephen Salapante, also at the University of Washington. The researchers expect similar results for any procedure that involves cutting the skin, says Long. They also found that 59% of the organisms responsible were resistant to pre-surgery antibiotics given to all of the patients in an effort to prevent such infections. By characterizing the antibiotic resistance traits in the microbiome before surgery, antibiotic therapy could be tailored to each individual patient, says Salapante. Despite the findings, a clean hospital environment and a sterile surgical instruments are still essential, says Long. Technology. Chatbots can persuade conspiracy theorists to change their minds. Large language model chatbots, like those powering ChatGPT, can reduce someone's beliefs in conspiracy theories by debating with them. The tactics used by the chatbots will reveal potentially better ways for people to interact with conspiracy theorists. Although research suggests that the number of people who believe in conspiracy theories hasn't changed substantially in the US or in Europe in over a decade, those who subscribe to such ideas have dogged faith in their views. Many people try to counter this, but not always successfully. Attempts to persuade conspiracy theories they are wrong have historically not worked out very well, says Thomas Costello at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Now, he and his colleagues have come up with a successful approach. They conducted an experiment with 2,190 self-admitted believers in various conspiracy theories. The participants provided an outline of the case for a theory they subscribed to before being placed in a conversation with the artificially intelligent GPT-4, Turbo Large Language Model, LLM. The AI presented each person with a summary of their conspiracy theory and asked them to rate the level of confidence that they had that the theory was true. They then had a chat with the LLM in which each side offered three contributions to the conversation. Next, the people were asked to put forward their case again and to once more rate their level of confidence in the truth of the idea. Overall, belief in the specific theory they mentioned dropped by about 20% on average, while the researchers also found a general decrease of belief in other conspiracy theories. The effect also lasted for at least 2 months, suggesting that AI had permanently changed people's views. My hunch is that prior attempts to debunk conspiracy theories have been limited by how generalized they've had to be, says Costello. A broad, shallow engagement with facts often doesn't persuade conspiracy theorists, who tend to have read deeply into a subject, he says. The AI model took a more rigorous fact-based approach. In 83% of the conversations, it used evidence-based arguments for alternative perspectives, utilizing its ability to synthesize large volumes of information. The AI also rarely deployed emotional appeals, so avoided invoking emotional responses that would hinder any persuasive power. Costello believes the method could provide a model to counter conspiracy theories, either by using chatbots or by having people mimic the AI approach. In terms of the persuasive methods, being congenial, non-judgmental, focusing on facts, I think those are all things that humans would be able to do in theory. And that's it for The New Scientist for this week. I hope you found it interesting.